Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jumpers or intros, microchips and stuffs, iPhone cameras plus, taco salad plus, both on my bubbles us, Olive Garden us, White Foster us, Sabra Hamas, Hezbollah sus.
Welcome to Bad Hasbara, the world's most moral podcast. I am your host, Matt Lieb, and I thank you once again for spending some time with me talking about the latest and greatest in Israeli propaganda. What a fun concept for a podcast. You know, as someone who has podcasted for years, and I've done all sorts of podcasts, you know, about The Sopranos, about The Wire, about like movies and stuff. I have to say, this one, the most depressing, but also the most fun. We're going to have a good time talking about some of the wonderful things going on in the Middle East, everyone's favorite region. Our guest today is a hilarious podcaster. You have heard her. If you haven't heard her on the great podcast Ethnically Ambiguous, please start listening to it immediately, because it is one of the few podcasts I actually listen to. And it's very good. Ladies and gentlemen, and everyone else, our guest, Shireen Yunus. There we go.
Here.
Yay. Boom.
Hi,
bam.
Matt. Thanks for having me. Disclaimer, audience, I'm getting over a cold. So, I mean, I always sound kind of off, but I sound more off today.
She's on Sudafed. So if she says something a little anti-Semitic.
That's not what I mean. I mean
so
the sound
loud
of my voice.
Listen.
But sure.
One time Roseanne Barr took too much DayQuil, I think, and started saying racist stuff. So I understand. If, you know, sometimes a little slips out. I'm just kidding. Shireen, thank you for coming on this podcast.
Thanks for inviting me.
You know, we've been homies for a long time. We've talked about this subject for a long time. Yeah. And I want to start off by first asking you, how you doing? How you holding up? How's
bad?
Still bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's just hard to even when you have like moments of good, like with my family, with my nephew or something, something will always remind me.
Oh, I mean, like, that's a good really thing. I am. Is that where you're going to
do? Exactly. But no, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think we should all, I think it would be a huge luxury to be able to forget about what's happening. So I'm not doing too well regarding that. And I'm sick. So no, I'm doing bad, Matt. I'm doing really bad.
Fair enough. I mean, listen, it's, you know, it's Christmas time. It's the season of laughter and joy. And you're saying that you're against that. And I guess that's fine. You know, I don't know. I feel like maybe the Christmas spirit hasn't hit you yet, you know, like,
That's a funny thing that you bring up. My friend was like, "What are you doing for Christmas? Are you going to see your family?" And like, I really like my family does not give a shit about Christmas. Well, one, we're Muslim, but two, like, it never even occurred to me that we all have to. Like, it was just
you have
the
to
most,
be happy at this time of the year.
Yeah. So who knew after over 30 years of life that I would just realize that? But
I mean, listen, I think that this is probably the most depressing Christmas season that I have had in my lifetime. Like, I've been kind of patiently waiting for this like Christmas spirit to take over, because I love Christmas. I think Christmas is great.
The vibe is nice.
It's a good vibe. Everyone's like, you know, there's just kind of this cheer. There is cheer. It feels good. You know, I'm not anti-Christmas. I'm very pro-Christmas. And I like literally we're recording this on December 23rd.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is it just not going to happen this year?
I mean, is Santa canceling Christmas? Pieces? There's like that photo that everyone saw of like a nativity scene getting blown to bits. And yeah, like what if there's like if there are Christians, Zionists, which are like most of the Zionists in this country, that
yeah,
it just doesn't make any sense to me that you can like watch that and be like, yay, Jesus Christ, still my guy, because that's like literally his hometown.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's like literally that'd be like loving Will Smith and then, you know, having people bomb West Philadelphia and yeah, being like, no, I still like the people who bomb West Philadelphia. Like, why? Yeah. What the fuck?
That doesn't make sense to me.
And as a Jewish person, it's like, you know, listen, we have been trying to avoid the charge of starting a war on Christmas forever.
Wait, when you put it that way, that's really fucking
funny. Yeah, it's like we are desperately trying to be like, no, we love Christmas. We love Christmas. You know what? Yeah. We're going to celebrate Hanukkah and we're just going to make it Christmas, but it's got blue and white lights, you know? Like, we have been trying so bad to not kill the Christmas spirit just to keep peace with our Christian neighbors. At least, you know, I'm talking about diaspora Jews.
Right.
And Israel comes along and is like, you know, we're going to shoot a couple of Christians praying in a church in Gaza. And then
we're going to blow up and destroy the oldest church, mm-hmm, one of the oldest ones on the fucking planet.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and so we have to, you know, sit here and just be like, you know, it's just like you're putting us in a bad spot. But that's kind of what they do. They like to put me in a bad spot. They like to put every Jew on earth in the position of apologizing for a people who I'm like, are we even the same guy? I don't think so. And that's a little bit of what this podcast is going to be about in terms of talking about some of this week's Hasbara, because this week has been like, I mean, ever since the 7th, there has been like just the most disgusting and out of touch, like comedy content coming out from, Israel.
From but soldiers like, that have the time to make fucking TikToks.
Yes, exactly. And it's like gotten to a point where, you know, I just recently where I've like been seeing video after video and I'm just like, one of the defining traits of, I think, of Jews, stereotypically, of course, but I believe this, you know, holds up to be sort of true, is that a very funny and self-deprecating people, right? That's like the stereotype. And I find that is the case for a lot of us. And this is just one of many facets of Israeli society where I'm just like, this, it's just like, just the, like plainly one of the most unfunny people that I've ever seen. Just not a shred of humor inside.
Humor or humility.
Or humility, yeah, or any of the self-deprecation, none of that stuff. And I think it's because a lot of where that comes from is, of course, as a defense mechanism from being, you know, diasporic people and from, you know, from dealing with anti-Semitism, you know, from neighbors and all that stuff and not being in power. And I think as soon as you have the, you know, the liberty to become the oppressor, the sense of humor goes away entirely. And so like, you know, this,
but you don't know it. Like you still think you're funny. You know what I mean? Like it's, you're oblivious to the fact that you're just insufferable.
Yes. And I'm like, and I'm watching it and I'm just like, usually Hasbara is very American focused, right? It's for an American audience. It's meant to be funny or not funny, but it's meant to be for us. It's meant to be like something that we're going to understand, a propaganda spin that like vibes with Western values.
They're making being pro-Zionism a brand, like a cool brand.
Right. But like the shit, like this is just something that happened recently. It was from this. Well, I'll just play it. This is what is clearly a someone who is on the Hasbara team within Israel because he's holding a camera, but he's wearing, you know, his IDF flak jacket. And this is the bit. This is the bit they do. Knocking on a door. Oh, no one's home. Oh. And we pan out and we see that the joke is that all that's left standing of that building is a door.
Yeah, I actually saw that because you tweeted about it just a couple hours ago. And
yeah,
it makes me so, I mean, that's honestly terrible and one of the least offensive ones I've seen as far as like stupid fucking
no,
videos
there's,
go.
There's thousands of them. There's just so many videos of like Israeli TikTok in which it's just like an Israeli woman dressing like an Arab covered in blood and doing
a covered
dance.
In dust. And then like for whatever reason, like blacking out her teeth, like whatever it is, they it's really fucking gross. It's, and you also see these videos of like live streamers that like, oh, there's an Israeli person. And then they're just very honest and vocal about how they're like, we hate Palestine. You should die.
Yeah. No, we should kill the Palestinians. And you're just like, I watch this and I go like, you know, it's just like, number one, just a deeply, deeply unfunny people.
Yeah.
And number two, I think that the, you know, being the oppressor in a society, like being that has warped the entire like cultural vibe of like Jewish comedy, because that's not it's not Jewish comedy to me.
And what I say is Israeli that, like, comedy, and Israel is completely separate.
Yes, it's just different. I'm sorry, but it's just complete. Like, I look at that and I go like, this is not who, this can't be for us.
It's not landing in the way they want it to.
It does not land.
I hope not anyway.
Listen, I love jokes. I love gallows humor. But I think Israelis think that gallows humor is when the hangman does a joke. Mm-hmm. They think that, oh, you know what's really funny is like if, you know, you kill a bunch of people and then you go like, oh, no, oh, no, I have to clean up the floor. And it's like, that's not, you're thinking of, I think maybe like parts of a really, you know, like of maybe a Scorsese movie or whatnot. And like, that's not. Why that's funny in that movie is not why it's funny in real life. You know what I mean?
It's no, like 100%. It's tone deaf and stupid. And I mean, like so many people believe that Israel was like a gift for Jews after the Holocaust, which is not true. I mean, you can just look it up, but like Balfour Declaration, all this other stuff.
Right.
I think Zionism and the establishment of Israel in general is rooted in anti-Semitism, but that's like
100%.
Another thing. But when the Israelis now, they've never been victims of anything. Like the, most of the Israelis now, they've always been the occupier, the oppressor, the ones with more rights.
Yes.
And I think that's just
the
truly,
victim.
Yeah.
The victim of their own hubris, the victim of their apartheid government. Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the victim of terrorists who are doing terrorism for a very specific political purpose that has, at the very least, a valid a valid reason for being. Like there's no part of me as someone who's a Jew who doesn't understand resistance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not to say that I'm a pro-violence or anything like that. But like the idea that you would look at these people and, you know, see them as just in a vacuum terrorists And not,
I mean, it's kind of stupid because they do see it, because they see their retaliation as valid, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
By any means.
Right.
And the retaliation is always, when it comes at them, terrorism. So it's really stupid.
Yeah, it's really insane. And it's really like, I watch something like that and I'm just like, you know, it's one thing to say like, oh, you know, we're all indigenous to the land. Like, I look at that on its face and I know, like, oh, God, like, I'm sorry, but we're all from Africa. Like, that's what you're doing.
You just reminded me that Eve Fartlow is trending again.
Yeah, I love when Eve Fartlow trends.
It's beautiful. Also, not our fault that they have like good names for poop puns. Like, Noah Shitsby.
Yeah,
beautiful.
I'm sorry, but you listen, that's not.
You asked for it.
You listen, I'm sorry, but you kind of did. You can't go around being named Barlow.
No. I mean, she's the one that really made it a thing, though.
Right. But she kept talking about her hate name.
Yeah.
They called me Eve Fartlow.
All her tweets are too good to be true. But the one that's getting a lot of attention now is about her saying she's going to Israel. I'm going home. Someone like quote tweeting her being like, you were born in Scotland.
You're from Scotland.
And then now she's replying being like, every person that agrees that I'm not indigenous to the land is anti-Semitic. They believe in the genocide of the Jews, all this other stuff.
Of course.
I'm just as indigenous to Israel as she is. That's the truth.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And I listen, I'm sorry, but I've heard this before. It was a thing that like racist housewives used to say in the 90s. They would say, we're all from Africa originally. So I don't see color. And you'd be
I do want to read the thing, I think. I just thought, because her tweets
are... The Fartlow thing?
Yeah.
Yes,
her
please.
Tweets are just... Oh, wow. Okay, when you click on the... This is like a very obvious thing. When you click on the trending thing, other things are reminding me of the dumb stuff she says. But she said recently that, so long, Gen Z, from now on, I call you Gen H Generation Hamas.
Yeah, well, it's another letter.
Never forget this. Sorry. Okay. This is her tweet from 2013, March 17th. I hate it when the only seats left on the bus are seats Mexicans just sat in. Like, who wants to feel Latino butt heat when they sit down? Barf face. So that's who's indigenous, I suppose.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you know, listen, she was young. She was
probably on DayQuil.
She was probably on DayQuil. She was probably on Sudafed, and she had not yet honed and, you know, targeted her racism yet.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like now she would be horrified that she said that about anyone who wasn't Palestinian.
Yeah, that's a good point. At the end, I was like, wait, and then you got it.
Yeah, that's what I do. You know, I make jokes and stuff. And the reason for that is because I'm not Israeli. Here's the thing.
You make good jokes because you're not Israeli.
Right. That's, you know, and listen, there are good Israeli comedians. They are all leftists. I would not put them in the category of, you know, the rest of their country. But they know. They know the amount of fucking hogs who will laugh at the dead over there.
Yeah, because
and
the
they're
Israeli
horrified
government,
by it, too.
The Israeli government has... when I mentioned earlier that they're victims of... they're victims of the apartheid regime or whatever, but they're also, so many of them have been brainwashed to truly not think Palestinians and Muslims are human.
Right.
Like, it's scary because that's why it's acceptable to blow them up in mass and just dehumanize them to that level. But okay, I was thinking about this with the knocking on the door video that you shared. Mm-hmm. They're really just proving, they're showing their ass. Like, what 100%. Kind of indigenous person that sees the land as sacred is boasting about destroying ancient buildings or like burning olive trees? Like, the most... The best argument against Zionism is truly that if you love the land, you wouldn't destroy it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think that that is 100% true. I think the idea of like tying the Zionist project to like a sacred religious love for the land. You know, Ben Gurion going to the beach and kissing the ground and stuff like that, you know, and standing on his head and all that. Like this idea of this beautiful, sacred, promised land thing. It's like one of many myths surrounding Zionism as being anything other than about domination and ethnic cleansing. You know, like yes, you would not
in that way. I'm glad that there are these
the
videos.
Holy Land.
Yeah, but you like, know? Do you know what I mean? Like in that way, I'm glad that they're so oblivious to post this kind of shit because that's the truth. That's who they are, and so real people with actual brains will see that for what it is.
Yeah,
but. So yeah, in a way it's kind of nice that they're so shameless because I know, we're getting it straight from the source.
I know. It's really like, you know, again, this is one of the reasons I wanted to start this podcast was because I was like, oh, they're so bad at it now. Yeah. They're so bad
they're
at
really
it.
They're really bad at it now.
They used to be good at it though. And like, you know, I'll still talk to people who like, they were so good at it. People are still repeating, you know,
give me an example. I don't know if I follow.
They were good at it in that like they could get the liberals on board.
That's true.
By being like, we love gay people. We are, you know.
Oh, the Chelsea Handler Noah Schitzbe video. Have you seen videos of that going around?
Someone just sent that to me right before we started the podcast. And so I'm like, oh, I haven't had time to see all the bullshit and all the lies that are in there.
A big part of it is how if gay people need to love Israel because like they accept gay people, which is like actually not true. You're not gay marriages are not allowed.
Yeah. You can't get gay married in Israel.
Yeah.
Just period. You cannot.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
They were good at pinkwashing Israel. They've been 100%. Really good at that because everyone believes that Israel loves gay people, which is not true.
Right.
But
right.
That's
but
good Hasbara, they were I suppose. Very,
yes. I mean, it worked. And it works so well that people still repeat the same things now. But the problem is now when someone flies a pride flag in the ruins of a residential neighborhood, people go, oh, wait. I think I see what this is. Like you make it obvious. Like
again,
it's literally,
they're showing their own ass.
Yes, yes. They're showing their own ass in this way. And you know, I've said this, I think, on the last pod, which is that, like, you know, this is what happens when you've been able to like shift further and further right wing and do war crimes with impunity. Is that eventually you're just like you get a little bit rusty at the game because you've never really had to work that hard. You know, because no one's really taking you to task anymore. So now all of their propaganda sounds so insane. And I have another example.
Please.
And this one is all right, water. This is a guy named at Little Buddy Max. His name is Max. He's got a Star of David, a heart, a rainbow flag, Canada. So, you know, he's a Canadian Zionist, I assume. I don't know. So he is quote tweeting Greta Thunberg. You know her. She is a climate activist from one of those derby places. Where's she from?
Oh, my God.
It's not racist to do a Scandinavian voice, okay? I'm doing this fucking Swedish show.
She is Swedish, for the record.
Okay, there we go. So, it's me, Greta Thunberg. No, she's great. And she's a climate activist, and she has been, you know, from the beginning, a vocal voice for Palestinians and for ceasefire. And
but she had that octopus in the background.
She had the octopus plushie. So she should be tried at the Hague and murdered.
Exactly.
So she posted climate strike week 279 hashtag Fridays for Future hashtag climate strike. And in Swedish, it says, you know, a big sign in Swedish that says like strike for climate. And then right next to it is a sign that says free Palestine. Now, little buddy Max here has quote tweeted it saying Israel leads the world in water recycling at 92%, solar water heating at 83%, invented drip irrigation, revitalized soil damaged by
literally your intro song.
Yes, yes. This is This literally right. Damaged by Ottoman railway and agricultural malpractice, received native species like
revived,
Judean.
Revived
native species like Judean date palms and wheat strains that went extinct due to colonization. Interesting choice of words. Just looking at that, this is what, and I'm sure this term exists, I haven't Googled it, but this is like what I would call like greenwashing it. And it shows, there's a few things going on in there in terms of old Israeli Hasbara. So you have the, actually, we're really, Israel is great for the climate, you know, mm-hmm. net zero carbon
emission.
They've
never done anything wrong. Yeah.
No, exactly. And also, you know, like the intro song, the other way they invent is they startup wash it. They go like, look at all the things we invented, the cherry tomato,
we're
USB.
Geniuses.
Yeah, we're geniuses, you know. And so just like looking at that now, when I saw that, the first thing that I tweeted was, thank you so much for bringing this out, you know, into the open. Israel does not get enough credit for being like the best in the West at banking rainwater. Google West Bank rainwater.
Yeah.
And so the bit in there that I was doing was essentially, if you don't know, and I always find a lot of people who don't know this stuff, which is why I'm very happy to explain mm-hmm. this shit, is that Israel does not let the occupied territories gather rainwater. There has been an occupation of water since 1967, since the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza Strip. It is like one of those things where when you first read about it, you're like, you see it as like a tweet, mm-hmm. and you go like, I don't know,
can't be real.
That can't be real. You're like, okay, maybe that's probably like there's like a
an
grain
exaggeration.
Of truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, then I was looking it up and I found that there is a Snopes article about this. And I was like, okay, I'm going to read the Snopes article. And I got to say, shout out to Snopes, because I was honestly like surprised at how much actual research that they did into this. Fucking Snopes. Okay. So Palestinians forbidden from collecting rainwater because it's deemed, quote, Israeli property,
which is crazy. Just a side note, like mm-hmm. they take their land and then they occupy not just the land but the fucking sky. Like,
yes. Yes, they literally occupy the sky and the contents of the sky. So they talked about this post and that's claimed rainwater is a property of Israel and Palestinians are forbidden from gathering rainwater.
Rainwater is the property of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
That sentence is crazy.
Yes. Yes. And they said it appeared to quote a UN report as well. And in this article, not only do they confirm that it was actually taken from a real report by independent human rights organizations submitted to a UN body in 2011, which found that Palestinians in the West Bank were not able to gather rainwater for their needs. It not only found that, but it also found like tons of other sources, including from 2017 Amnesty International report titled "The Occupation of Water." Per the report in the 1967 Israeli military authorities, Israeli military authorities consolidated complete power over all water resources and water related infrastructure in the occupied Palestinian territories. Military Order 158, and that's something you should look up on your own. It required that all Palestinians get a permit from the Israeli military before constructing any new water installation. And since then, any extraction of water and water infrastructure development has had to go through Israel, which has resulted in, quote, devastating consequences for Palestinians there, according to Amnesty International. Israel even controls the collection of rainwater through most of the West Bank and rainwater harvesting cisterns owned by Palestinian communities are often destroyed by the Israeli army. So, honestly, shout out to Snopes. Like, Snopes is that website that you go to see if that's actually that lady's titties. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, is that what it is?
I mean, not me, but other people who would like want to see titties. Like, yeah, like Snopes is the amount of stuff that I used to read on Snopes was always it was always fun little internet rumors. You know what I mean? And like the idea that there are like journalists at Snopes who are like, let's dig in and actually doing real journalism. I'm like,
better than the fucking New York Times. Usually,
better than the New York Times, better than the Washington Post, better than most major print journalist, journalistic institutions. And of course, not to mention any 24-hour news network. So you look at that and then you look at, I don't know, that post by our little buddy Max, and you just go like, the fucking audacity to be like, you know, Israel's actually really good at recycling water. Yeah, we don't give it to people who are dying of thirst or who are dying of hunger and cannot fucking, you know, grow their own plants. But we're good at recycling it.
That's the dumbest. I mean, that's another. Yeah, it's greenwashing in a way.
Yeah. You know? It's so like you really got to have audacity. You got to have chutzpah, but like an evil version of chutzpah. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You gotta be, what do you call it? It's like being a piece of shit.
Balls of shit.
Balls
of steel. Balls of shit. I have to work on that one. I'm sorry. That was not
No,
funny.
No, but there's where this
but
is.
But like they're just shameless in their incorrect takes. It's crazy. And they state it as facts.
Yeah, of course. They say, well, I mean, you know, that's the thing. It's like, it's the same with every bit of Hasbara that they do, every bit of like PR about how great Israel is. It's like, if you don't count, you know, the 5 million Palestinians living in apartheid, it is a democracy.
Well, that's something that really bothers me about, I mean, this is also the left says this too, but like how there was peace before, or like there's... there was a period of peace between any of them at any point since Israel's creation, which is just simply not true, because the peace in Israel is reliant on the occupation of an entire people.
Yes. Yes.
So I just really hate when anyone mentions like, let's just go back to the way it was or whatever it
is. Pre-67. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's usually, you know, how it goes. And people... The amount of like, there's levels to being deprogrammed from Zionism. Mm-hmm. There's multiple levels. Hey, Vince.
Hey, Matt.
As you know, Vince, I love old internet memes. Remember the early internet's obsession with Chuck Norris jokes?
I do remember that.
Here's one. When Chuck Norris went to college, he told his father, "Now you're the man of the house."
Why do you bring this up?
Well, I was thinking about those old memes, and I started thinking, I wonder what Chuck Norris is doing right now. What has he been up to?
You know, I actually know the answer to that, Matt. Yeah, I recently saw a health video he made, and I was surprised. He's in his 80s, and he still seems to have energy and health.
You know, I saw the very same video, Vince, and in it he says he's even stronger, has more stamina, and plenty of energy left over for his grandkids since making one simple health change that helps his digestion and nutrition.
That's almost too powerful to contemplate, but yes. It's true. He says he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife made the same change, and she's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger and has energy all day.
I am way younger than them, and I have energy for about 2 hours a day. And the problem is, you know, that many of us do not include fruits and vegetables and other herbs that increase health and energy in our own diets. Chuck Norris made a special video that explains how he incorporated these things with one simple product.
I love special videos, and you can watch it too by going to mymorningkick.com/podyourself, and it may change your approach to your own health.
Once again, that's mymorningkick.com/podyourself. mymorningkick.com/podyourself. Go there now and watch this very special Chuck Norris video.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like, I think the beginner level is when you're like, I'm for a two-state solution, you know, I would end the occupation in the West Bank and in the Gaza Strip, you know, and like, that is like, that's something that's like, you're just like, you're like a baby anti-Zionist. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not an anti-Zionist, you know, you're just like, you're just a baby. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and you see like who's real and who's not based on where they claim occupation is happening, because they don't want to talk shit about Zionism, but they'll say, yes, the occupation is bad. And of course, I agree. The occupation is bad. The occupation, though, if you are not including the ethnic cleansing of 1948. In your analysis of the crimes committed by Israel, then you are living in this like fantasy world in which everyone is, you know, like, everyone was peaceful before 1967. It was just like, you know, oh, the Arabs will go to war, and then you know how Arabs are. Yeah. Shireen, you know, they always go to war.
That's us. Awesome.
That's you guys. You're always saying Allahu Akbar and stuff. And we're just like, hey.
Hey, that's a different fucking bone I have to pick with everybody, because for some reason, every Arabic phrase is now terrifying to people. And it makes me so angry. Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's true. It's just like you can't say fucking algebra anymore without someone trying to call you anti-Semitic.
Wait, you know? Okay, you're reminding me of something that... Oh, yeah, okay. I watched this documentary called Tentura. Have you seen Tentura from 2022?
No, I've not seen Tentura.
So you might have seen clips of it. It's basically...
Maybe I saw clips of Tentura.
It's been going around a little bit just because they interviewed... The director interviews these ex-Israeli soldiers who fought in the Nakba. Mm-hmm. And they're very candid about how... They killed everyone in this town of Tentura, and how it was really rich. And then there's a guy that like is laughing about how his friend raped a 16-year-old girl. And
right. Yeah, I have seen those clips.
Yeah. So the actual documentary was interesting because it's really good. And I wish they had more Palestinian voices, but I'm going to get to that in a second, because I didn't know anything about the director until I looked him up. And in his words, he is the biggest Zionist ever.
Oh,
and
fun.
It really confused me, because the whole point of the film is to make Israel acknowledge that the Nakba happened and that they did do an atrocity, and then to move on. And that's where the line is for him. It's I'm a Zionist. I can't condemn these old men because, in his words, they're like my grandparents. Yeah. But if we can just like build a monument to commemorate
we'll do a land acknowledgement.
Like, yeah, we can just like end this once and for all. It's like, actually, no, it's not going to end with a fucking statue.
Yes, this is, I think, one of the things.
It really made me mad.
No, I would be furious too, because then you're just like, it'd be like talking about, you know, like, I think we need to acknowledge what we've done to the Native American population. Like, you know, a year before the Trail of Tears, you know what I mean? It's like, or like, it's like if...
As it's happening,
it's like if Christopher Columbus's son was like throwing blankets of fucking smallpox on Indians and going like, man, you know, we really got to say, like, we've done some bad stuff in the past, man. It's all in the past. That's the important thing to remember. Like, there's like this desperate need in
for
Israel.
Growth. You know, it's like, oh, we're good now. If we were bad before, we're good now. And it's like, no, you're not. You will never be good.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's because you are still mid-ethnic cleansing.
Yeah.
You know, like and you've added apartheid on top of that. And I think this is like something that like Israelis desperately, desperately want is to fast forward to the part where they are America and they can do a land acknowledgement and they can do fucking, you know, reservations and give Palestinians casinos. They want to fast forward to that part. And the problem is they are still mid-ethnic cleansing. And it's not to, you know, I'm not, America's not off the hook by any means for being, America is the biggest, toughest thug on the block who is responsible for,
the biggest terrorist organization in my book on the planet.
The biggest terrorist organization, a worldwide terrorist organization. And, so they're not off the hook by any means. The difference is that we are all personally on our phones watching the continued ethnic cleansing, and people in Israel are just like, we just want to get to the part where we can pretend that we didn't want this. And
had we
been around, we would have stopped it. Can't we get there? It's like peak liberal fucking whiny bullshit.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's one of the reasons I can't stand a liberal Zionist, because you are like, you're trying to write the history of being sorry and humble while you still have a chance to do the right thing.
Yeah. And for those that don't know, talking about the Nakba, or just even, it's not allowed to be taught in schools. Like, people in Israel are taught a very brainwashed, incorrect version of history where truly they've never done anything wrong and the Arabs have always been bothering them. Like, that is essentially what they learn. And so the liberal Zionists, as far as this fucking, maybe this director is like this, but it just feels like he took one step towards like good. We're being like, actually, we have to talk about the Nakba. It was a terrible thing we did. We have committed sins. Yes.
Yeah.
But he's not going to leave Israel. He's not going to condemn the men that are glorifying rape and murder. He's not going to it's truly just guilt. It's just like trying to absolve himself and be like, I'm one of the good ones. I'm one of the good ones.
It's trying to absolve yourself from the guilt.
Shame.
And it's trying to frame this as a thing of the past.
Yeah.
The idea that the brutality was something that was sadly
like a one and done thing.
Yeah, a one and done thing that was, sadly necessary. But also so cruel and, you know.
Okay, wait. He said that in the interview. He said it had to happen. Like, basically. Like, it blew my mind because the documentary is, parts of it are really powerful. And you hear these soldiers, like, being disgusting. And it's truly them showing their asses again, I guess, in a way.
Yeah.
But that's also part of it. It's like, well, it had to happen, but it was bad.
I had almost the exact same experience recently with a book that I had read years ago by this Haaretz journalist named Ari Shavit. It's called My Promised Land. When I first read the book, it was like, I don't know, this was like maybe like a decade ago. And I was still, still in the baby phase of,
you've been through all the phases. That's right.
I've been through all the phases. Yeah. Now I'm in the phase where I'm in the like full anarchist phase where
I'm way too radicalized.
I do not believe in states, and any statist at this point to me is my moral enemy.
Yeah.
No, but like, when I first read it, I was like, wowed by kind of the candidness at which he would talk about the Nakba and at which he would talk about
the brave,
like the atrocities committed that he saw, that he witnessed personally, like in Gaza. He served in Gaza, as part of the IDF. And, you know, he had thoughts of being like a conscientious objector / going to prison and whatnot. But then he decided, I want to be a journalist. I should go there and experience it and then write it down. And he, in it, like he it was the most candid I'd ever heard an Israeli be about a Nazi comparison, you know, and he said that, you know, of course, you know, we're not the same. Or he said, of course, we are different than the Nazis. But the problem is what I experienced there in Gaza is I realized we're not different enough. That and it was the closest that I'd seen someone like just being real about the fact that like this, you know, ban on comparing anything to the Nazis, you know, with regards to Israel is like this is the first time I'd see someone like take that and say, no, fuck that.
And he's probably one of the only people that can do that.
What's that?
He's probably one of the only people that can do that. You know what I mean?
Well, right. I mean, like, especially, you know, an Israeli, I think, is like, you know, I just had never seen that before. And I was like, you know, after the seventh, you know, I was like, I'm going to like revisit this fucking book. And I was reading it again. And I was like, wait a second. He was doing exactly what you're describing the director of this documentary doing. I realized as I like at the time that I had read it the first time, I was still in the space where I was like, you know, Israel did what it, you know, Israel, what it did in the past was of course awful, but what we really should be focusing on is 1967 and peace and all that. And then as I was like going through this book more and more, it was just like, well, what do you, what can you do with these people? As I was like getting, and I was like, wait a second, I agreed with this. And then I was like, but there's so many parts in it that were just like, so like honest and like, and I was like, yeah. And then it would, you would get to this part where you would just, he would just basically say that, you know, at the end of the day, it's, if it's them or us, it's gotta be us. And I'm like,
exactly.
And then, I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to fucking, is he on fucking Instagram? And then I went on Instagram and, he did like a whole video talking about, it, like just all Hasbara talking points, every single one, you know, on the 7th, this happened. And let me tell you about what Hamas is, talking about Hamas is an agency, is a, you know, is a terrorist organization that is committed, proxy for Iran, committed to the destruction of all Jews of the world. And I'm just like, I can't believe this, but you wrote the part in the book where you said not, you said you were Nazis. You said it in the book.
I mean, I'm glad that was the takeaway you've had all these years though.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, the parts that, that, that rang, you know, the, that affected me were the parts that were the, I think, honestly, the most honest and
the ones you needed to hear at the time.
Yeah. And then, you know, like he had these like critiques of like Israeli peaceniks. And I took that as kind of like a critique of their ineffectiveness and why they were ineffective. And I mean, and it was, but I realized that what his critique was that they weren't pragmatic enough and they weren't honest enough about the enemy that we're facing. Yeah. I'm like, oh no, no.
Oh, that's a big yikes.
It's a big yikes, dog. It's big, because you realize that there's like the biggest and hardest hurdle, I think, for a lot of, you know, Israelis is like coming to the point where you are having to not only face, you know,
all the actions, shame, like all, it's, yeah, it's all shame,
it's all shame, but then having to not place it as something that only happened in the past, and having to, you know, basically put yourself in a position which, you know, you feel is an impossible position, which is to tell all your Israeli neighbors like, guys, this is apartheid and it can't stand anymore. And the truth of it is that, you know, we cannot sustain this without the end of what we deem as a Jewish state. And what they deem as a Jewish state, I think, is the big problem here, because what they deem as a Jewish state is a state in which there's a population control. And I think you can't, that's completely unsustainable. You can fucking still be a, you know, a state that has Jewish names and Jewish leaders and all that stuff and not have apartheid. Mm-hmm. You can still do that.
Well, that is something that I really, I hate that they did this well, but the Israel's flag is truly some of their greatest branding because
that's probably the best Hezbollah.
It has this holy symbol on it that so many people are deemed sacred. I even deem it like somewhat sacred because like I recognize that it's powerful, you know?
Yeah. It's a religious symbol.
Yeah. So when you see that flag getting boycotted or burned, or like when you see someone like put an X through it, it triggers something in people that don't know better. And that's what they want. Like that's
It triggers something in kind of like people who care about things like, you know, not desecrating someone's religion. And the problem is that that is not actually what they're doing in the act of burning an Israeli flag.
I mean, the fact that they chose that for the flag is evil and ingenious and really infuriating because they've forever entrenched themselves in a religion that they have nothing. I mean, it's truly not about religion anymore. It's an ethnostate that is that was literally based in anti-Semitism from the start. Like Arthur Balfour hated Jews and didn't want them to come to Britain. So he was like, go here. Like that's Zionism.
Yeah. 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 And it's also, you know, I think for me, I look at Zionism based on the excuses of the justifications for its existence by American Zionists specifically. And that justification, well, let me just say this. I look at Zionism as defeatism. Zionism is absolutely defeatism. People justify in America, they justify the existence of Israel and the need for the existence of Israel as that place that we're going to need to go inevitably. One day, they're all going to come after us. It's going to happen. And we're going to need Israel, you know, to, you know, to go to and to bail us out. And to me, I look at the people who support like phrases by Biden, like there's not one single Jew safe in the world without Israel and supporting that and being like, well, he just understands his history. He just understands his history. He understands that no Jew is safe. And I realize that I'm like, the question I guess I would pose to them is like, okay, if an anti-Semitic president came to power and an anti-Semitic Congress and, you know, Senate and all that stuff, and they forcefully deported all Jews to Israel, would that be a good thing? Mm-hmm. Or because if you don't think that would be a good thing, is it's because you're like, no, because I'm not I live here. I'm being deprived of my land, my place of birth, my place where my fucking ancestors are, my mother, my father, my grandfather, you know, like, okay. So to me, I look at this and I go like, so if you actually think that Israel's whole purpose, whole existence is for you to someday, you or your children, your grandchildren someday are going to have to go to, then you're a fucking defeatist. That's a good point. Is your way of saying that, like, at some point, no matter what,
we're always going to be the victims.
We're always going, they're always going to come after us, no matter fucking what. And I will defend my fucking contingency plan by any means necessary. It means it doesn't matter how many fucking Palestinians get killed. I still will one day, someone I'm related to is going to need to go there. And I'm like, that is fucking, it's not only disgusting for obvious reasons, you would let people die just in case, but
I've never thought of it this way. So this is a really, it's a great argument because it's like, it's I thought you guys were the chosen people.
I thought also social justice is a big thing of the, like, you know, Israel's whole fucking Hezbollah plan, you know, with trying to get liberal Americans is like, we believe in social justice. And I'm like, you believe in it to an extent that, you know, you would let all these people die just to defend the idea that someday you might need to fucking hide out because no matter what you do, you're giving up. That's you giving up as
it's really
a Jewish person.
All the tenets of Judaism to begin with.
Oh, of
like,
course.
It's,
of course
it's
it is.
Pathetic. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just like, I look at the like, I'm giving up thing of like, of this contingency plan that we all have. And I just look at it as like complete defeatism.
Yeah.
Just complete fucking like, no, you know, at some point we're just gonna, there's nothing we can do about it. They're gonna kick us out or try to kill us. And I can't help but look at that and just be like, I don't know how many of you actually believe that.
Yeah. It's a double-edged really sword, don't. Though, because at the same time, they're saying Arabs will always want to kill us. And you know what I mean? Arabs will always be barbaric and evil, and and they will never change. So it's...
We got to make sure that, you know, and that's like the worst part is that it's like, okay, so wait, so someday the Nazis are going to take over America and they're going to fucking try to kill all the Jews. So then we're going to go over to Israel, and Israel is still unsafe because it is filled with, surrounded by Arabs who hate it. So are you saying we have to kill all the fucking Arabs in the Middle East so that we can be safe? So one day when America becomes Nazi, like there's so many steps removed all to justify this, if we're being honest, this like fucking, you know, this like Club Med, this, you know, for American Zionists, it's like, this is a fucking club, an exclusive club that you don't want to let go of because you've made up some reasons in your head why it's necessary.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think that's a great way to put it. And I've never thought of it that way. And I'm going to think about it that way from now on. But to go back to the idea that it ended, I think, or like it was like a one and done thing. People are and also like comparing it to the Holocaust, all that stuff. I think people don't realize that this is, the genocide didn't start 2 months ago. It's been a slow genocide for almost a century.
Yes. Yes.
And I mean,
by design.
Why are we comparing atrocities? Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever even heard. Like, why do we do that? It's like, we don't want to, like, really, like, what is that game where it's like, but we had it worse? Okay, you guys suffered too, but why does that negate
a
century-long genocide?
I'll tell you why. Because the whole, by design, the whole plan of Zionism with regards to taking over the land was supposed to be gradual, because it was the only way that they could justify it.
Exactly.
Like Ben Gurion literally said, and like, you know, those, you know, in his cadre were saying like the world is not going to like it if we just go in and, you know, fucking we go to a Holocaust, essentially.
We got to do our good Hasbro.
Yeah. And initially it was going to be about just an immigration plan to eventually overwhelm the demographics there. To
also, in their words, colonization.
And you know, in order to overwhelm the population and overtake them demographically. Once the state of Israel was then, you know, created, then it became a war, and it became, they saw villages that they said, in order for us to at least have a contiguous fucking strip of land here, we're going to have to do some massacres. We're going to have to fucking, you know, kill everyone in Dariusim.
People are fighting us because we're taking their homes. Like, it's
right,
like,
right. Or we are, people are mad at us because, the people who fled, we now own their homes. You know,
framing it as a war even then is fucking bullshit. Like,
Yes.
It really makes me mad.
But to your point about, like, you know, why this comparison? Mm-hmm. Their whole thing is that, listen, this is the reason we're trying to do it slowly, is so that it can be palatable. And so every time someone calls this a genocide, they get mad. They say, no, we're specifically not. We could, if we wanted to kill, they will say this out loud. We could, if we wanted to wipe them all out, kill them all.
That is an argument that I've seen too many times.
They've literally said this. And, you know, and they say it as just kind of like, well, see, we're not doing a genocide. But what they're mad about is the fact that people are calling them on their fucking bullshit plan, which is to do this fucking ethnic cleansing and genocide, but slowly. Mm-hmm. Do it so it's palatable. And when people say this is not palatable, they get mad about it because they're like, what the hell, man? Like, we're trying to do it like gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. We're doing it like America did.
Yeah, we're trying to be nice about it. Like, yeah. we're not trying to do Nazi Germany. We're trying to do America. We will poison the native population. We will deprive them of their rights and their freedoms. We will dehumanize them and call them savages. And we will, you know, turn the world against them. And we'll kill them, you know, through guns and disease.
Also using very similar tactics from the Holocaust, like
of course they are. Yeah, I mean they'll use the tactics. The one thing they avoid is the death camp, you know, the specific death camp machine, and they say, well, that means we can do whatever we want, mm-hmm. as long as we're not doing that. It's like one of the things that I've been saying is, you know, they say things like, essentially what they're saying is like, hey, listen, it's not a genocide until we kill all of them.
That's a crazy take.
Once we kill all of them, then you can be mad.
And another argument that is ridiculous is they always cite the population growth of Palestine, being like, if it was a genocide, why are there so many Palestinians still being born?
How come they're still having babies? And it's like
that is not what a genocide is. Like, genocide is in my view. Mm-hmm. Based on the intent of the genocider. Like, that that's where it starts.
No, it is absolutely genocide. What is happening? I think the with them, they are saying it's not a Holocaust is what they're saying.
They get triggered when they hear the word Holocaust, and Zionists get triggered because people are calling Gaza an open air concentration camp.
Right.
And a lot of Zionists find that offensive because how dare you compare that to their whole actual concentration camps?
It's not that bad. We have actively taken measures to make this palatable to you, mm-hmm. and you're not falling for it. Yeah. Like, that's why they're pissed. And
it's really true. That's why this podcast exists.
That is why it exists. But, you know, it also exists for this very last bit that I'm going to do. I like to do at the end of all these podcasts, a little palate cleanser. This is some great art. Do you remember there is a list guy?
A list guy.
He was the one who he went into, I think it was Al Shifa.
List guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Hospital. That and he found the calendar.
Yeah. The one with all the Hamas schedules and the hostages that they're guarding.
Yes. Yeah. This is a schedule of hostages we're guarding. So someone made this online and I just wanted to post it. Play it for us here as a palate cleanser to make us, you know, calm and feel good to go into this Christmas, not seething with fucking rage. So I'll play some of it right now.
This list, in Arabic, this list says
Hamas. 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 Hamas.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Isn't that nice?
That's good. Also, I love that they included the strong "ch" in the
they did Hamas, the Israeli "ch." They did that. I like that.
That's really good. That's great.
Yeah. So shout out to the creator of that. It was reposted so many times. I didn't see who the originator was because Twitter fucking sucks now, and you can't see who did the original post. But whoever made that, shout out to you. And shout out for that nice KH sound at the beginning of Hamas. Shireen, thank you so much for coming on Bad Hezbara and talking about some Hezbara with me.
That was a nice venting session. So you're welcome. Good. And that's thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for coming on. You're wonderful. People can listen to you on Ethnically Ambiguous. Is that right?
Yes, they can listen to me on Ethnically Ambiguous. I also am one of the rotating hosts of It Could Happen Here. And
great show.
I'm also a filmmaker, but like in quotes, because I haven't made a film in a while. So,
well, listen, yeah. Art sometimes is a process.
Yeah. Actually, I made one this year. I don't know why I'm being so annoying.
Yeah. But, what are you doing?
my point is.
You're a filmmaker.
That doesn't matter, actually. No. Okay. That doesn't matter. I think my takeaway is just to have people keep talking about Palestine and. Yeah, follow accounts and Palestinians that are sharing what's happening. I think that is what all of our responsibility as consumers of social media right now is to not let it become something that we used to talk about.
100%. I completely agree. And that is one of the reasons, one of the many reasons that I started this podcast is because I feel like we have short attention spans, and I worry that people will, move on. And personally, I don't want that.
No.
Because at the end of the day, I love Palestinians. I love people.
It's
I
human
love children.
To care. Like it's a human thing to care, and I like, think
I like alive children so much. Yeah. Like I have a child, and if I have to see,
she's really cute.
She's really fucking cute, and if I have to see one more dead child, I'm gonna set myself on fire. So
no,
I won't do that. But you know, it's yeah.
The desire will be there.
Point is. I'm so grateful for you, and I'm grateful for the stuff that you guys have been talking about.
I'm very grateful for you. I hope you know that. I think you're one of the few people that has been able to like make me laugh during all of
this
stupidness because it's like, because you're like swirling through fucking Instagram, this black hole of hell.
And then
I get to one of your videos and it's like, Matt's doing his thing again. Great.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah. I'm glad.
And also, I really do think anti-Zionist Jewish people are essential to the liberation of Palestine. So I think I'm really grateful for you as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I think the fact that we're essential. I don't necessarily think that we are essential, but I guess what I mean is I'm always made uncomfortable by that idea just because of the fact that it's because Israel is so good at making anyone who is not Jewish feel scared.
Yeah.
That they will be called out for anti-Semitism, that it really is incumbent upon Jewish people of conscience in this, in the diaspora and in Israel. It's incumbent on us to say shit because we are the only ones who that accusation of anti-Semitism doesn't stick to as well. We still get it.
Yeah. Oh, now you're not Jewish though. But now you're not
right.
Really.
No,
you're going to be
excommunicated. So. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, truthfully, I'm a secular Jew. I'm only Jewish enough to displace a Palestinian family if I wanted to.
Yeah.
And that is not Jewish enough for everyone. Who's a Zionist, but for some reason Jewish enough for the Zionist state of Israel. So that is the contradiction we live in.
Bye, I guess what I meant by essential, this is my little disclaimer.
No, of course. No,
is that I think it's really important to have people unpack how they unlearn Zionism.
Because 100%. I agree with you.
Gabor Mate, is that how you say his name?
Yeah, Gabor Mate.
He's one of the most powerful Gabor. He's like, he talks about this so eloquently and emotionally and well because he knows how terrible it is, and he's unlearned it, and he's felt the same things that you have felt.
Yes,
and he's a Holocaust survivor.
And, shout out to his son Daniel, who I spent Hanukkah with this year.
Nice.
He did a little Hanukkah thing. He flew over to Los Angeles and we hung out and had a nice little anti-Zionist Hanukkah.
Not scheduled, but my cat is getting into my desk. So this can be the ending.
Oh, I love ending with a cat. Well, yeah. Thanks everyone so much for listening. Thank you, Shireen, for coming on. Thank you, Kitty Cat, for being adorable. Patreon.com/fraudcast, fraudcast@gmail.com. If you want to email us with any questions, comments, and concerns, FROTCAST @gmail.com. For those of you who are just listening to this podcast and don't listen to any of the other ones, you're probably confused as to why the email address is named after Frotage. But subscribe to the Patreon and find out. All right, everyone. Thanks again so much for listening. And until next time, there is a list.
Jumping jacks was us. Push-ups was us. Krav Maga us. All karate us. Taking Molly us. Michael Jackson us. Yamaha keyboards us. Jar Jar Binks not us. Andor was us. Heath Ledger Joker us. Endless Red Sox us. All that shit.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.